And our Father, we thank you for a time like this. As we look forth into your world, we'll see Christ, and He alone will see. We'll see nothing else other than Christ. There's no error in His atmosphere. There's clarity in our minds to receive your word the way we ought to receive. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Say after me, I acknowledge and I receive
the revelation of Christ that is made known to me from the word. Hallelujah. And I'm edified. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you with your Bibles?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I want to discuss on a topic I titled the doctrine of Bible doctrine on giving. I'm going to be very, very fast because we need to brush up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. Okay, quickly, 2 Timothy. Don't worry. Those of you were around yesterday, I said something in this line. Chapter 2 this time. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 4 verse 14 into 16. Let's see how it goes. It says, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. He says, but be diligent. Be diligent. Old King James would say, study to show thyself approved to God, a workman, that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. Verse 16, and then shun profane and old and idle babblings, rather, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hallelujah. The word for cancer there is the word that is translated ulcer. Hallelujah. To spread like ulcer. The Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Hallelujah. Much more of my emphasis will be on verses 15. It says, study to show thyself approved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. It says, rightly dividing the words of truth. Rightly dividing. Meaning the word rightly dividing will mean to present the gospel the way it ought to be. Hallelujah. Rightly dividing truth. That word is a Greek word, ototomio. Hallelujah. Rightly dividing, cutting through the scriptures. Now, what Paul, in summary, was telling Timothy is that present the gospel the way it ought to be presented. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a way the gospel ought to be presented. So he told Timothy to present it the right way. So he tells him, study to show thyself approved. The word study is the word that means spodizo. It means to be diligent. It implies to be diligent, to be earnest. That word is an active word. Be earnest. It's a word that talks about, it brings about eagerness. Be eager. Do you understand me? Meaning it's telling me be eager to present the word the right way. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Hallelujah. It says, study to show thyself approved. Be eager. Be eager, be diligent. It's the word, if you read through the scripture where that word was used in Galatians 2:10, Ephesians 4:3 is the word endeavor. To endeavor. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 17. 1 Thessalonians 2:17. 2 Timothy 4, verse 9. 2 Timothy 4, verse 21. Titus 3:12. Very importantly used in Hebrews 4:11. Hallelujah. 2 Peter 1:10, 2 Peter 1:15, and 2 Peter 3:14. I take it again. Galatians 2:10, Ephesians 4:3, Endeavor, 1 Thessalonians 2:17, 2 Timothy 4:9, 4:21, Titus 3:12, Hebrews 4:11, 2 Peter 1:10, 1:15, and 2 Peter 3:14. The word is a word that requires your consciousness. Do you understand me? You consciously present the gospel the way it ought to be. That's why he tells us, be diligent for this. Be diligent to present thyself. As he said, you know, the King James said, to show thyself approved to God. The word approved is the word dokimazo. Hallelujah. But in this, there is a word, okay, is the word dokimos, which is, you have the active word to be dokimazo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now you have the word dokimos. It's the word that means to prove. Do you understand? To prove. To be approved. And you find the same word used, dokimos, in Romans 14 verse 18. Chapter 16 verse 10. Romans 14 verse 18. Let's go to Romans 14 verse 18 immediately. Romans 14 verse 18. I read. It says, for he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Hallelujah. Meaning his approval by men is because he's approved by God. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is approved by God. Or is approved by men because he's acceptable by God. Chapter 16 verse 10. Chapter 16, verse 10, say, greet Apollos, approved in Christ. Did you see that document? Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Greet, and like that was his closing remarks. Hallelujah. It says, approved of Christ. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 11, 19. You have the same word. 2 Corinthians 10, 18. 2 Corinthians 15, verse 7. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Most importantly, there's something you need to take note of. From the scriptures we read, we discover that the approved ones are of God. Do you understand me? We say the man who is in Christ. We could say the man who is in Christ is a man that is approved of God. We find or he's chosen of God. Look at Romans chapter 8 verse 30. It says, whom he did for you, the damn he also predestined. Right? Hallelujah. Then he predestined, he called. Those he called, he justified. He justified, he glorified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You also find that we are chosen. John chapter 8, verse 16. Somebody should quickly rush to John 8, 16. Quick. Let's have you. John 8:16. Yet my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. Did I say John 8? John 8:16. Is that what you're reading for? Let me get the place. A second. Oh, sorry, John 15:16. I'm sorry. John 15:16 says, you do not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Hallelujah. So we are chosen of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are chosen of God. So when the writers that interpreted that verse used the word, in fact, number one, to start with the word unto God, or the word unto, or the word to God, that preposition to and unto actually does not, is in italics, if you read your Bible well, meaning it's not present in the original. Did you understand that? So the writers now have to look at the word that best fits the sentence in translation. Do you understand me? And they use the word approved to God. Do you understand me?
Now, it was not Paul that wrote approved to God. It was the translators that felt though would be good. Do you understand me? What is there is I'm not in Greek. I've read it out for you in Greek. Hallelujah. It's actually dokimos theos. Do you understand? Now, the word is or the word though is not there. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. So, but from context, from salvation reality, we know, do you understand me, that the man in Christ is the man approved of God. And Paul will not be telling Timothy to show himself as one approved to God. Or should not, will not be telling Timothy to show himself as one approved to God. Or should not tell Timothy to show himself to God. That is what that reads, right? To show yourself to God that you are approved. No. Because the next verse now tells you, now say, but shun profane and old wife babblings. The verse before tells you is referring to false preachers. Hallelujah. It's referring to what? False preachers. That means it has to do with men. Hallelujah. So meaning the person he will be showing himself approved to, that he's of God, will be to men. Do you understand me? Did you understand that? Do you get that? Hallelujah. Are you with me? Okay. So, that will now read, study to show yourself approved by God. Who are you showing? Men. How would you do that? In how you rightly divide the word of truth. In how you present the gospel. Did you understand that? So, it is now study, or is better rendered, study to show thyself, or be diligent to show thyself approved by God. Do you understand me? By God. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The believer does not need to prove to God anything. He is in Christ. And that is what God knows. Hallelujah. Did you get that? You don't need to prove to God anything. I'm going to prove to God that I love you. Keep quiet. Love me. Hallelujah. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. His spirit is within you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we know he speaks about false prophets. So he tells Timothy to show himself as one approved by God and not through God. In the way he handles the scripture, very important. The way you handle the scripture is very important. As a believer, as a child of God, the way you handle the scripture is important. Some people have bad manners in the way they present the scripture. They are in a haste to present it anyhow. You see, having good, being fluent in English does not mean you are saying the right thing when it comes to ministering the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, somebody can be presenting the word of God to you in all sincerity, but he's not telling you the truth. Do you understand? In all sincerity, because he's not handling the word of God well. So, Paul will tell Timothy that the way he should present the gospel should be in the way he should be seen, the way he cuts through the scriptures to reflect the man, to reflect him as a man approved by God. Meaning, Timothy will cut through the scriptures from Genesis to Malachi and he will preach Christ. You know, in chapter 3, it's the same letter. In chapter 3, he now said, you have known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise. Do you understand? He has known the Holy Scriptures. And yesterday we said, where did Timothy learn it from? He learned it from Paul. Hallelujah. He learned from Paul. 1 Timothy 3 verse 10. He said, you've known my doctrine. I mean, 2 Timothy rather 3:10. You've known my doctrine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 2:2. It says, what you've heard of me, or from me rather, among many witnesses. It says the same. It says, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach didasco others. it comes to play. So how you teach, the word didasco is the Greek word, is a Greek word that implies what is being taught. You understand? Didasco, what is being taught. Hallelujah. Jesus told the disciples, go ye therefore and make disciples of every nation. He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Spirit, which is the name of Jesus, in his name, hallelujah. He said, teaching them. Did you see that? Didasco, teaching them. Which is explanation itself. Teaching them. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So in teaching, there is a way teaching is done. The word didasco is gotten from another Greek word, didache. Didache is the word that is translated doctrine. Listen, is the word that is translated doctrine in many parts of the scriptures, hallelujah, or teaching. Listen, didache means a mode of explanation. Hallelujah. The mode in which what is explained is being explained.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
There is a mode in which Jesus explained the scripture. There was a way Jesus explained the scriptures. Hallelujah. There was a way Jesus explained the scriptures that was different from the way the Pharisees did. Do you understand me? The Pharisees handled the scriptures. Are you with me? So the Pharisees handled the scripture in a way that is different from the way Jesus did. And the way Jesus did is the way the apostles now handle the scriptures. Listen, did you get what I just said? There is a way the scripture should be handled, should be explained. When we talk about the word scripture, you know what we mean. We're referring to what the Old Testament right now. There's a way it should be explained. Now, the way Jesus explained was the way the apostles did. And it is clearly seen that that was not the way the Pharisees did explain the scriptures. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 7 verse 20, Jesus had a teaching from chapter 5. His teaching on the mount. Then go to chapter 7 verse 28. Let's look at chapter 7 verse 28 of Matthew. Matthew 7, 28. Hallelujah. Okay. Are you there? Matthew 7, verse 28. He said, And so it was, when Jesus had ended this saying, that the people were astonished at his teaching. Do you see? For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Did you see? They were astonished at his teaching. The word teaching is the word didache. The way he explained Moses. Because of chapter 5 verse 1, he was explaining the prophet and Moses. Up onto chapter 7, they were amazed at the way he did the explanation. Hallelujah. Because that is not the way the Pharisees did. The scribes did. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Luke chapter 4 verse 32.
You find the same thing there. Jesus with those elders of the synagogue. Hallelujah. Look at this. Luke chapter 4. Are you in chapter 4 of Luke? Okay. Verse 32. Now, look how Jesus was with them. Hallelujah.
This is not that. I was supposed to take you to chapter 1. But let's look at chapter 4 first, verse 37.
And when he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, he was teaching them on the Sabbath. I read verse 31. Verse 32. And they were astonished at his didache. For his words was with authority.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
They were astonished at his words. Look at that Matthew again. Look at Matthew 22. Let's go back to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Are you there? Verse 23. And the same day, it says the Sadducees, who said there is no resurrection, came and asked him, saying, Teacher, Moses said that if a man dies having no children, are you with me? If a man dies having no children, his brother shall marry his wife
and raised up offspring for his brother. Now there was with, there was with us seven brothers. The first died after he married and having no offspring, and his wife to his brother. Likewise, the second, also the third, even to the seventh. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had her. And Jesus answered and said to them, you are mistaken, not knowing the scripture or the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given to marriage, but are angels of God in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read? It was spoken to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his didache. They were surprised at his teaching. Hallelujah. They were surprised at how he taught. He just picked it up and he gave explanation. Hallelujah. How did he give the explanation? We'll see. Hallelujah. 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 Because you see, when the reason why Jesus' teaching was different was because when Jesus taught, he taught the Old Testament as concerning himself. Hallelujah. John chapter 5, verse 39. He said, you search the scripture. He said, for in them you think you have eternal life. You see, they're looking for eternal life from the scripture. But he said, these are they that testifies of me. Meaning Jesus said the scriptures testify of him. He said, but you will not come to me. Meaning you will not come to the conclusion of the scriptures concerning me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. In Luke chapter 24, verse 20, from verse 25, he calls them, he says, O fools, he says, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophet have said. He says, ought not the Christ to have suffered this thing and enter into his glory? Hallelujah. Now he says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them the things of the scripture. Did I quote it right? Eh? He expounded unto them the things concerning himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, this mode of teaching, of explaining Christ from the scripture, do you understand me? Handling the scripture with carefulness, do you understand? With carefulness, reading, knowing what the scripture talks about, seeing Christ as the center theme of the scripture, which is what we call Christology, is what the disciples taught. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, he said, and the disciples followed in the apostles' teaching. Acts 2:42, they followed in the apostles' teaching. The apostles' didache, mode of explanation, they followed. They were steadfast in it. Hallelujah. In Acts of Apostles chapter 5, verse 39. Acts of Apostles chapter 5, verse 39. Let's see what happened. Chapter 5 of Acts, verse 39. Acts 5, verse 39. Are you with me? Okay. Let's look at verse 42, sorry. It says, and daily in the temple, in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Did you see what they were teaching? Hallelujah. They were teaching and preaching who? Jesus as the Christ. Hallelujah. 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 If you go to chapter 2. Okay, let's do chapter 2 for now. Let's go to chapter 3 from verse 11. Acts 3 from verse 11. If you read from verse 11 down to chapter 4. Verses 1 and 2. Look at chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Now, as they spoke to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came to them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Do you understand them? Do you understand that? They were disturbed. Because from chapter 11, he began to explain to them what happened to the guy at the gate of beautiful. And he thought, he quoted from the prophet. He quoted Moses, quoted Samuel, quoted the prophet, and he explained it as Christ. Those guys were mad. They were not happy, and they said, because why? They thought in Jesus. Do you understand me? What was the center of their message? Christ. Christ revealed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was so different. Look at chapter 2 from verse 17 to the end. When they were explaining what happened at the upper room, Peter explained. And from the scripture, what did he teach? He taught Christ. How many people were saved? 3,000. He taught Christ. Hallelujah. 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 If you read on, they wanted to shut them up. They told them to not preach in Christ again. They told them not to preach in Christ again. Christology. Hallelujah. It was far different. The Pharisees could only quote and read the... You see, when you begin to read a figure of speech from the scripture as being literal, then you are having an issue. Do you understand me? Because in Bible interpretation, you must be able to identify what is a figure of speech and you read in context to know what the explanation is. Did you understand me? Hallelujah. You don't take a figure of speech literal because it's a figure of speech. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But because they don't understand the language of the scriptures, they will just muddle things up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Another thing to point out in the way the apostles taught is something. There's something you need to point out closely. From all these things that we've read, if you read them critically, remember I told us to do a study on the book of Acts. I don't know how many of you did it. Hallelujah. So that's why you see me, I'm rushing it, because I thought you're supposed to have done it by now. Hallelujah. Another thing to point out from the disciples' teaching, the apostles' teaching, is on the fact that they taught Christ as the graciousness of God. They taught Christ as the graciousness of God. They taught Christ as the grace of God. They taught it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In John chapter 1, it said, and of his fullness have we received grace for grace. Did you see that? So, do you understand that? John chapter 1. Of his fullness, verse 17, have we received? He said, grace for grace. So what we receive is grace. So Christ is taught as the graciousness of God. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, quickly. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. Verses 9. He said, do not be carried away with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace. Do you see that? Don't be carried away by what? Strange and, I mean, by various and strange doctrines, various and strange didache, various and strange mode of explanation. He said, it is good that the heart be established by what? Grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So therefore, any teaching that does not show forth the graciousness of God in Christ is called strange, or various, or diverse. The word diverse is the word for different shades. Diverse doctrines, different shades, different explanation. Hallelujah. Aside the Christ explanation. Hallelujah. Which is called Christology. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, in the preaching of Christ, it is important to note that the graciousness of God must be seen in the ministration. In the ministration, when, do you understand me? In every ministration, listen, the graciousness of God must be seen in the ministration and the preaching of Christ. Do you understand that? You must see the, now, when you talk about graciousness, is the word grace. The grace of God must be seen. What is grace? Grace is the word, is the Greek word charis. Charis. It means a free gift. Do you understand me? Free gift. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All that God did through Christ, we received it free. You didn't have to pay for it. All that God gives is free.
Hallelujah. It is man that looks at some things and places money. So therefore, we can say prosperity comes from man. It's coined by man. Do you understand me? All that God gives is free. Hallelujah. And we receive it freely. We receive Christ freely. Hallelujah. We'll get to that. Hallelujah. So anything that teaches Christ outside the free gift of God, any message that portrays Christ or the work of Christ outside the free gift of God, is not a message of the gospel. It is a strange message. Any teaching, any message that teaches Christ or the works of Christ outside the grace, the free gift of God, that teaches it as outside being the free gift of God, is a strange message. It's strange. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Any message that portrays Christ's work to us as what we need to strive for, that you need to strive for sanctification, as what you need to strive for, is strange. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes, you don't need to strive for it, you don't need to work for it, you believe. Do you understand me? You believe. You what? You believe. It's free. All you need to do is to believe. You don't need to strive for it. So once the message is portraying Christ outside this, or what Christ has done outside this, as what you need to strive for, it's not a message of the kingdom. It's strange. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Or you say it cannot be a proper explanation of the scriptures. What's the message you're showing Christ outside this? It is not a proper explanation of the scriptures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, it becomes very important that the person who handles the teaching or the explanation of the gospel needs to be faithful. You understand? Needs to be faithful. Hallelujah. The one who handles the scripture, the one who teaches the scripture, you who teach the scripture, who preach the word, you ought to be faithful. Hallelujah. You have that responsibility to be faithful. Hallelujah. In your explanation. Remember 2 Timothy 2:2. It says, commit to faithful men. Who are faithful men? Faithful men are men that will say it the way it ought to. You see, there is something like saying what you like. But in preaching, you don't say what you like. Do you understand me? When preaching, you don't say what you like. When teaching the word of God, you don't say it how you like it. You say it the way it ought to be said. Do you understand me? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. Ephesians 6, 19. Okay, verse 19, Ephesians 6. It says, and for me, that utterance may be given me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Did you see that? Hallelujah. There's a way you ought to present the gospel. It's not the way you like, it's the way it's supposed to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, faithfulness is not sincerity. Faithfulness cannot be found in sincerity. The fact that somebody is sincere, telling you, teaching you the scripture, he might be teaching you because that is how he was taught. But that is not being faithful. Do you understand me? Somebody can be teaching you based on what he has observed. But that is not being faithful. Sincerity, listen, Listen, faithfulness cannot be found in sincerity. But rather, sincerity is you being faithful. Sincerity itself should be you being faithful. So when a man is faithful, he's being sincere. That is what sincerity should be, not the other way around. Do you understand me?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And your faithfulness is in saying it the way you ought to say it. John chapter 1 verse 14. Let's go to John 1 14. Hallelujah. John chapter 1 verse 14. You don't say because it's sweet in your mouth. No. You don't say because you like to say it. No. You say because that's what ought to be said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John 1 verse 14. I read. It says, and the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he is before me. Verse 16, and of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. Did you see? Of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. He said, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The law was given through Moses. He said, grace and truth came through Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, from the scripture, we saw that God giving, this is what he said, of his fullness have we received, grace or grace. He said, the law was given through Moses, or by Moses, listen, said grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, or as Christ. Now, what can you see? John called, listen, God's giving of Christ as grace. Did you see that? Paul called the giving of Christ by God, of Jesus by God, as grace, as a free gift. For God so loved the world that he gave. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So Christ is free gift. Or you say the giving of God, God's mode of giving is called grace. God's giving is called grace. You see that? God's giving is God's grace. Hallelujah. And you know what? Giving is one of the activities that should take place among the gathering of believers. Giving. Giving is one of the activities that should take place among the gathering of believers. It should. Hallelujah. And we're going to see it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. For us believers, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verse 1. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 1. It says, now concerning the collection for the saints, I have given orders to the church of Galatia, so you must do also. Say, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collection when I come. So, in the Christian gathering, giving is an obligation. Not just as I say, I've given order to the church of Galatia, I say, I also give you the same order. But it's an obligation for us to give. Hallelujah. It's an obligation from the scriptures. And how do we give? You make preparation, you plan. It's not on the day you come into the garden that you are looking at how will I give. You have planned from the beginning of the week. Upon the beginning of the week. You know, it's not like what we used to do. Mommy, money for Sunday school. No. No. Hallelujah. You plan. He said, as you have prospered. As you have prospered. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As you prosper, you give. Hallelujah.
So giving in the church is an obligation. Now there's something that happens. People give, listen, they give with a mindset of investing. They think giving in the Lord is you are saving money in the bank. No. Giving in the assembly of believers is not you investing. I want to talk about bias our mind from that, because we'll get to see it soon. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Giving in the gathering of believers is not you doing, it's not banking, it's not investment banking. Do you understand me? I mean, we'll quote scripture. It's a good measure, press down, shake it to the flesh, and then give. We'll see that scripture in the course of this discussion. Hallelujah. Did you see that? Hallelujah. You don't give with a need in mind. Sometimes, well, listen, people give because they want to receive. You understand me? Now listen to me. I don't want to sound it very clear. If you give because you want to receive, it shows there's something wrong with your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody will say, but I gave and I was healed. You see, there's an explanation to that. Hallelujah. You see, what people do, listen, to get healing. People could do anything to get healing. You understand me? And the healing happens. But because you got healing, listen, because you got healed doesn't make it a doctrinal practice. Do you understand me? What is a doctrinal practice is what the word says and not what your experience says. Hallelujah. Because at the point of healing, what makes a man whole? The Bible says the prayer of faith. Do you get that? Faith. So, that, have you not seen people? They went to... I've seen somebody that wanted healing. He went to a beach to carry water, salty water, and drank. And they said, I'll be healed, I'll be healed, I'll be healed. I better go heal. Some people are not adoring bad beach water. Have you not seen people like that? Adoring bad beach water. In fact, there was a pool called the pool of Beersheba. Right? She is Beersheba. Beersheba. Right? The pool of Beersheba. 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 It's the same. Hallelujah. Let's look. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's look. In fact, there was a story. Listen, they had a meat. That was a meat. M-Y-T-H. They had a meat that an angel would fall in and spin the water. And then whoever falls in first will be healed. Right? Right? They now began to adore the pool. You see, people get do some funny things to get healing. Some people will carry olive oil and pour some and the person got healed. Does it make it a Christian practice? No. In fact, some people have drank the same cup. Wine. You understand me? Paul told Timothy to take a little wine for his stomach. Does it make it a Christian practice? No. So at the point of healing, listen, at the point of healing, because that is a lot of people try to place experience above the word of God. And you must understand, you cannot place experience above the word of God. You cannot never place experience above the word of God. The moment the man begins to tell you, but when I did, what does the word say? You understand me? You as a believer, you must have the supremacy of the word more than every other thing. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. I've had somebody who had fibroid, and I gave the person water to drink, and the person pissed out the fibroid. Does that make it a practice? No. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've seen someone who ate rat feces, and got healed. Does it mean eating of rat feces will make somebody heal? Let's start practicing it now. Do you understand that? So the supremacy of the word. Can you eat rat feces?
Say, bro, I ate last season and I was him. Let's go. Is it? Can you turn it to the scriptures? Will you do it? Aha. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you must place the supremacy of the word. Take note of that above every other experience. So at the point of healing, most times, many people have done some funny things and the healing happened. Hallelujah. But it doesn't change what the word says. Do you understand me? Because I'm going to talk to us soon in the course of the year concerning healing and faith. Or faith for healing. We'll look at that. Healing and faith. Or I'll title it faith for healing. Do you understand me? And then we're going to look at healing from the light of the word. Do you understand me? We'll look at healing from the light of the word. Hallelujah. You know, this God, that all those people that are doing all those funny things, all they needed to do was just to believe. Hallelujah. And you save yourself. Hallelujah. In fact, I've seen somebody who was told, go and sow the seed of your age. The seed of your age. How many of you have heard that word before? The seed of your age. So if you are 25 years, you sow 25,000. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I ran away from that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, when you are giving, listen, you see, a man of God said something, and I believe him. He said, those people who are in churches, when they tell them, you need to give to receive. Eh? It is, listen. He says, those people fit their pastor. So those people, their pastor is who he fits them. You know why? Because they themselves have a wrong motive. They have a wrong mind. Do you know what I mean? When your heart is wrong, you begin to give to receive. When you give with a need in mind, there's something wrong with your heart. And we're going to see it from the scriptures. Hallelujah. 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 So giving with a mindset to receive or with a need is not right. It's not right. There's something wrong with your thinking. So it's not right. Open your Bible with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Okay, let's go. We have a long reading here. It says, moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the church of Macedonia. Listen, let's see what the grace of God bestowed on the church at Macedonia was or is. Now, he said, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the church at Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and in their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. Hallelujah. Did you see that? So what was their joy? What was their great grace? The grace of God Paul was making known to us was their grace in giving. In giving. Paul called it grace. Free gifts. Did you see that? Paul called it what they are giving. He called it what? Grace. Take note of that. Hallelujah. Say, for I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we should receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministry to the saints. Hallelujah. Look at verse 6. He says, so we urge Titus that as he had begun, he would also complete this grace in you as well. Meaning, this grace in them he's talking about is the grace to give. Just like the Macedonian church. Did you see that? That Titus will also make this grace abound in them. Because Titus was sent to them. Do you understand me? In the church at Corinth. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. He said, look at verse 17. He says that as you abound in everything. Remember the church at Corinth? They had the rich people there.
You understand me? They came short in no gift. They said, as you are bound in everything, in faith, in speech. Did you see that? They are bound in speech, in faith, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love for us. He says, see, they are bound in all these things, but he says, see that you are bound in this grace also. What is this grace? The grace to give freely. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. We saw that the church in verse 2. Look at verse 2. We'll go back to verse 2. Then we'll come to verse 8. Verse 2, we saw that the church at Macedonia was a poor church. They had poverty. They were poor. You know, people say, I cannot give because I don't have. No. Bible says, in their poverty, in their great trial, I'm going through a lot, so I cannot give when I come to the church. There's no excuse. Because in their great poverty, in their great affliction, Bible says they give. You understand me? They gave. They gave. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you read Mark chapter 12 from verse 40, 42 to 44, it spoke about the widow, the poor widow who gave her last coin, and Jesus said she gave. Right? Jesus recommended her giving because she gave her all. She gave her all. So, saying you don't have is not an excuse to give. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, can the poor give? Yes. We have examples of from the scripture that Paul gave. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's look at that word liberality. Look at verses. That verse 2. They had the word there. It said, in their deep poverty, abounded in the riches of their liberality. Now look at the word liberality. It's from the Greek word. Listen. It's from the Greek word haplotes. Haplotes. H-A-P-L-O-T-E-S. Haplotes. Haplotes. H-A-P-L-O-T-E-S. It's the word that signifies singleness. Meaning they gave with singleness. The word also signifies sincerity without self-seeking. That is singleness. Giving with sincerity, without self-seeking, without a need. So that is how they gave. They gave liberally, without seeking for a need, without having anything in mind. When I mean without having a need, without any self-reason. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. They gave like that. So our giving should also reflect our what? Singleness of heart. Our giving should reflect our singleness of heart. Should reflect our singleness of heart, not self-seeking. Our giving should not have a need attached to. You understand me? When I mean need attached to, our personal need. Not, you understand? You should not have a personal need attached to. I want to give so that I will pass my exam. I want to give so that I can receive double promotion. No. It's not singleness. Hallelujah. Sincerity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The believer, for the believer, Christ should be mirrored, or Christ should be a mirror for giving. Christ should be a mirror for giving. He gave himself for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 6 into verse 7, he called that giving what? Grace. I told us that earlier on, right? He called it grace, that you are bound in this grace as well. He called it charis, free gift. Hallelujah. Look at verse 8. He said, I speak not by commandment, but I'm testing the sincerity of your love by diligence to others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty should become rich. When you talk about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, talking about his grace that made him give. So that is the grace for giving. Hallelujah. Free gift. Hallelujah. The grace of our Lord Jesus, not grace for salvation. Hallelujah. It was grace for giving himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at, let's go down again to verse 12. Verse 12. It says, for if there is first, I want to read from verse 10 into 12. He said, and this I give advice. It is so to your advantage, not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now you must complete the doing of it, that there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion out of what you have. Verse 12. For if there is first a willing mind, tell God of that, a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what one does not have. Hallelujah. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So in giving, it is to be done willingly, not grudgingly. No one should hypnotize you to give. You know, there are some messages when you are done hearing it. Like one of my friends attended a meeting one time. When he was inside the meeting, when the pastor was done talking about giving, people stood up, were removing their SIM card and were dropping their phones. People pulled their tar, pulled their shoes. Hey! Oh, when my brother said, hey, this bro of mine, hallelujah, he was weak. He saw people removing that radical giving, remove SIM card, and he just bought his phone. Hallelujah. He said he thought they've hypnotized people, so he carried his, that as long as his sense is still fine, he carried his phone and hid it inside his pocket. If you know what I mean, you know. Hallelujah. Hid it inside his pocket. So that if it is something that is carrying people forward, now when he too gets forward, he will just turn back. Hypnotized. Hallelujah. People can cajole you to give. I don't know why. I have never been in. Okay, I have been in one in school. When they were giving. Hallelujah. Why they were giving and giving. Hallelujah. My neighbor, my seat partner, just carried his phone. Remove SIM card. And you know, then Nokia X2 was just running. New Nokia X2. QWERTY key. My own. I just say, oh Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I just kept my phone where. And I now carried the last card I have in my pocket. I didn't know when I gave it. And we had to trek from town. Even Pastor Philip has not trekked that way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We tried. Some people after service, their shoes were no more. They were checking home. Hallelujah. They wanted to receive. In fact, let me tell you something. There was a message one time. It was in a convention. And the man of God was preaching. Preached so much. And the man of God now quoted something. The moment I heard it, I started laughing. I was not there, but somebody explained to me and I got the message. And when I heard the message, I got off my TV. I said, it'll not be me. Hallelujah. How many of you remember the story of Israel fighting alongside with another nation? And they were fighting a country. I'm trying to remember the name of the country. I guess it's the Syrians. I'm trying to remember the name of the country. So Israel joined hands. Before Israel went for that battle, listen, here's how the pastor puts it. Before Israel went for the battle, they inquired of the Lord, and the Lord told them to go. And they only did their morning sacrifice. Listen. When you hear message on first fruit, hallelujah, you will give by force. So when they went for the war, the Bible says they were, it was against the Moabites, I remember. Against the Moabites. Israel joined forces with some other nation to fight the Moabites. Now, when, listen, the Bible says they began to defeat the Moabites. But the king of that country saw that the war was against him. So what did he do? He carried his first son and took him to the altar of Baal. Baal. B-A-A-L. Baal. Altar of Shango. Altar of Odudua. Eh? Ikenga. Eh? Hallelujah. Amadioha. And what did he do? He slain his first son there. Killed his first son. Next apparent to the throne. And in the story, take note of what I said. In the story, there was great indignation against Israel. Meaning, the battle changed. Those people began to win the Israelites. And the pastor now picked out that and now said, some of you, you come to church and you give 10 naira, 20 naira. Every day, 10 naira, 20 naira. That was what the children of Israel did. They only give it their regular, they only gave their regular offering. Is it money? Listen, 10 naira, 20 naira, and your enemy is giving 10,000 naira for your life. Why wouldn't they get you? Hallelujah. Why are you clapping? Is it Rema? It's not Rema. You did not catch any Rema. It's rare you caught. Hallelujah. There's no Rema there. He said, your enemy is giving 10,000, you're giving 10 naira, 20 naira. He said, the king of Moabite gave his first son. Where is your first fruit? You ate your first fruit. And you want your enemy not to hit you with your 10 naira. Is that not hypnotizing you? Right? Is that not hypnotizing you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Bible interpretation, you stick to what is in the epistles. You do what? You stick to what you see in the epistles. Because we don't fight any battles. The only battles we ought to fight in the New Testament is the preaching of the gospel. You get that? When you hear fight the good fight, it's in the gospel. Is in the preaching of the gospel. When you hear the weapon of our warfare and all kana, is in the preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What other? I now asked a question to the person that told me. In fact, when the brother was telling me, he was saying it with much zeal. He's a man of God. Do you know that sometimes we can just be those 10 naira used to hurt us? And I asked the person a simple question that he did not answer and he went on fire. You know what he said? I asked him. I said, what other thing can be bigger than the sacrifice of Christ? He said, I told him, I stick to the sacrifice of Christ. Not in 10 naira and 20 naira. 1 billion naira cannot take away the sacrifice of Christ. Hallelujah. 1 million naira, 10 billion. No amount of money can quantify it. The blood of Christ, the Spirit of God in my heart. God lives in me. Even though God lives in you, how can you even think of that? You see, there's something wrong with the heart. So, don't you think the listener deserves their pastor? They do. Don't they deserve their pastor? They do. You deserve your pastor very well. You hypnotize because you yourself want to be hypnotized. You want to be deceived. That's why you went to be deceived. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Can we move ahead? Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, giving should be to reflect our willing heart. Look at that 1 Corinthians 16 again. You should not be cajoled to give. Giving is an instruction and it should be done willing. 1 Corinthians 16. It says, verse 1. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, I have given orders to the church at Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay aside something, storing up as he may prosper, that when I come,
there be no collection. Hallelujah. Now he said, and when I come, whoever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gifts to Jerusalem. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, hallelujah. When we give in the assembly of believers, when we give in the assembly of believers, it should bring about equality. Giving should bring about equality. Let's look at that. Acts chapter 4, verse 33. Acts 4, verse 33. Are you in Acts of Apostles chapter 4? Verse 32. It says, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of these things he possessed as his own. See any of these things that he possessed as his own? But they all had things in common. Verse 33. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord, that great grace was upon them all. Now, let's see what that great grace is. Look at verse 34. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. So the great grace was forgiven. Hallelujah. Did you see that? No. Was there anyone among them who lacked? For all who had possession of lands and houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that they were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each one as he had need. As he had need. Now, go back to that 2 Corinthians immediately, chapter 8. I want to read verses 13. I skipped it. It says, for I do not mean that others, when you look at verse 12, it says, for if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not what according to what he does not have. Verse 13, for I do not want that anyone should be eased and you burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, that the abundance may also supply your lack, that there may be equality. Hallelujah. That there may be what? Equality in the house of God. Now, in Acts of Apostles chapter 4, he said it was placed at the apostles' feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the great grace in Acts of Apostles chapter 34 is the grace to give. Hallelujah. So we give so that there will be equality in the house of God. Oh, let's say house of God. Using now. In the gathering. Hallelujah. In the church. Hallelujah. Now there will be equality. What does it mean of the word equality? That those, Paul went ahead to explain it, that those who don't have, or those who have, will supply their needs. I mean, will supply the needs of those who do not have. And vice versa. When those who have don't have tomorrow, do you understand me? Huh? Those who now have will supply their needs. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I need to take it again one bit, one step forward. You know, there is this, well, let me know as we go ahead. You know, there's this whatever that says, I make progress. In my finances, I move forward, upward. I preached it, right? We'll look at it some other day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are days you will not have. Hallelujah. My pocket is not small, even if my account is small. Hallelujah. You must be ready to admit. What you don't have, you should be able to admit, I don't have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Admit, I don't have, sir. Hallelujah. Okay, the Bible said they brought it to the apostles' feet. That word, apostles' feet, what does it mean? It means they brought it to their authority. When you hear the word, if you see the word feet, he put all under his feet, under his authority. It's a figure of speech. It's not that they will bring it and drop on the apostle's leg. You understand? Now some people have taken, you see, when you begin to take
when you begin to take figure or speech literally, you begin to cause confusion. Give to the who wants to give to the prophet of God? The first 10 people to come out with $1,000 and touch the prophet's feet. You see people running, bah, 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 hypnotizing people. You just discovered that you two are just being hypnotized. You fit that crowd. That's why you went there. You wanted to be deceived. That's why you went to where they would deceive you. If you know, you want to receive the apostolic grace. I've done that before, right? The apostolic grace. Come with 10,000 naira and touch the apostle's mantle. And I wear white. Come and touch the apostle's mantle. Ignorance. I was ignorant. And I hope you forgive me. I will do that again. So that's why I'm teaching you this now. Because as I'm teaching you, I cannot do that anymore. Do you know that? As I'm teaching you now, I can't come now and say and do that. Do you understand me? Woohoo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the apostles will mean to bring to the apostles authority, not to bring the things to the apostles. Do you understand me? Meaning when they had, those who had. Listen, and that is how it should be in the local church. Leaders take note. That is how it should be in the local church. You should not just say, this person does not have, let me give this person. No, you should bring it to the authority of the leaders. Hallelujah. Now the leaders will now know who to administer those things to. In fact, when they began to see, listen, that was the practice in the church. When they began to see that the widows are not being catered for well, they now appointed who? Seven who will serve tables. Now the ministration to the widows will be what? Do you understand me? Will be attended to well. Do you understand? And they chose seven full of the Spirit. Seven full of the Spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we move ahead? So, in the local church, the way it should be is those who have, you have access to bring to the leaders. Let the leaders administer. The leaders know who really is in need. Because who you feel might be in need at that point, there might be someone who needs it more than a person, and it is the leader of the local church that should ascertain that. Hallelujah. So that is what they do. They bring to the feet of the apostles, meaning they bring to the authority of the apostles. Hallelujah. So the apostles are not the ones who determines who gets what, who is lacking, and who needs to be supplied. That there may be equality. The word equality, listen. The word equality means that all would have. Do you understand me? That all would have. Nobody should lack. Hallelujah. So it is in the care of the local church to ensure that none of the members are lacking. It is under the care of the local church that the members lack not. But Paul now brought about stability. He now said, you who lack today, he said, walk with your hands, that you may be able to meet the needs of others. Did you see that? In 2 Corinthians chapter 8. So that you will not just be a burden on others. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there's a place for that where you need to walk. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we'll continue from here next week. Because we need to talk about why do we give. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.